Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Jacobites Clan, our Culture, Perth and Kinross podcast. In this week's episodes, I'll be continuing my chats with Dr. Nikki Small as we explore the stories, battles and icons that former Jacobites Clan's exhibition at Perth Museum and Art Gallery. Now Nikki, I've never heard of the burning of Strathearn, and it does feature quite prominently in the exhibition, so would you like to elaborate a bit more on it for this week's episode?
Well, the burning of Strathearn, I suppose a lot of people don't know about this episode, and it's a very Perthshire-based episode, of course, and it follows on from a more famous Jacobite episode, the 1715 and the Battle of Sheriffmuir. Now, Sheriffmuir's geographically down beyond Dunblane, down that area, and when you come up from Dunblane and up through that area, what you're coming through there is the area of Strathearn. You're coming up through Dunning and Creef and Muthal and Ochterarder, and you're going to reach Perth as you travel further sort of northeast. So that whole area, the battle that happens there is an inconclusive one. It's the Earl of Mar who raised the standard for the Jacobite cause at that point, and he is opposed by the government forces led with the Duke of Argyll.
Okay.
So the thing about Sheriffmuir is that it's inconclusive. Mar, I believe, has greater forces, but isn't a hugely great military commander. Argyll has greater command but has less men, and the battle comes together but nobody, and I think there's actually quite good songs about that one as well, and a Robert Burns poem. Robert Burns did a poem on the Battle of Sheriffmuir where he has two shepherds who are apparently watching it, and they're each deciding which one won, because nobody could come away and say that they had a conclusive win at the battle. And what happens there is actually that Mar retreats back to Perth. Now lots of people, again, the military strategists, think that was wrong, he should have done other things at that point, but the Stuart monarch James at that time, the pretender, wasn't with him, so he goes back to Perth. So what we've got is Argyll down Dunblane area, down that way, down at Sheriffmuir, and we've got Mar in Perth, and we've got this big swathe of Strathearn in between. So the idea at this point is, and there's lots of reasons why, is that they will not allow an advancing government army to gain any supplies or provision on the way through. And they decide to set fire to towns and villages in Strathearn.
Oh God, that sounds terrible.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
It really is. We have a local historian, Dr. Jim Grant, who's talked about this in great detail and looked at all the letters and documents and things pertaining to this. He's looked at a lot of the detail and the declarations that came out, and then some of the accounts of the burnings, because those came later as well, and what had actually happened. I'm going to look at some of those in just in a minute to read from them to sort of let you give an idea of what happened. Some of this was about settling scores. Some people in the local area weren't Jacobite and didn't support them, so perhaps if you were, you maybe would have targeted their farms or their homesteads. And some of this was about genuinely not allowing a government advancing army to gain any kind of provision, and they were a bit desperate at this stage.
Yeah, sure.
So there was clan people who did this. The party consisted of Donald MacDonald of Clanranald, Glengarry, Lochiels, Macleans, and various men, and some of those had been killed at Dunblane. They'd had relatives killed at Dunblane, and they carried out this burning of Strathearn. So apparently, this is one of the accounts that they had gone to Blackford, and they'd forced entry into Jane Edie's house in the centre of the village. She's described as a poor widow woman, and they broke off and plundered that which was valuable, setting the house on fire with sheaves of corn from the barnyard. She ran off to the mountains in the snow. One of the clansmen was heard to say, "What a pity that such a bonny farm should be destroyed." So it does show that they weren't even that thrilled about what they were doing.
Yeah, but they kind of had to as well.
It was orders, and this is a military point. So some of the quite graphic descriptions, this is the account written by a resident in Dunning. It would have pierced a heart in which there remained the very least spark of humanity to have heard the mournful screeches of frightful cries of poor women while rocking their infants in cradles upon the open fields in snow, looking upon their houses in flames.
Harrowing stuff.
So you're kind of middle of the winter here.
Yeah.
It's snow outside. People have come, and they are 42 houses were burnt. in the Dunning area.
Oh God.
The following day, the clans moved to Abruthven and burnt the house of Damside belonging to the Duke of Montrose, where his factor lived, and his aged mother, leaving them shelterless in the snow. His mother, David Clough, was the factor, and his mother was a woman of some spirit, as she is reported to have told them, "Do your work and be damned." So that's recorded as well. So she wasn't having any of it. You know, you're putting me out in the snow, but I'll still fight you.
Made of tougher stuff in these
made of tougher things. Stuff, yes. And apparently there was 142 houses in the parish that were burnt. Many died soon after, and several lost the tips of their limbs, so I think obviously they suffered from frostbite and other episodes as well.
And it's something you don't really think about, things like that, frostbite in like sort of Highland Perthshire, Central Scotland, the
cold winter
like that. But at the time, you know, if your house is the warmth that's keeping you, and then you're just exposed to the elements.
And people would go to the church, or they would try and get shelter. So there are documents that still survive, and we're going to be looking at some of those. And that's quite an as I say, it's a really interesting. It's not very well known. And when you visit these villages nowadays, as we hope people will be inspired to do by seeing the exhibition. It might inspire them to go out to Dunning and see what's actually there. Mm-hmm. Newthill's a lovely wee village, town, and then on to Creef, where some of these other episodes happened as well.
Sure.
And we want people to go out, Ochterarder, that whole area. And of course, this is where some of our big noble families were living. The Oliphants of Gask look down on the Vale of Strathearn. You know, that's where they are. The Drummonds are in Creef, and they're Jacobites. And so you're looking at the places where all these big families were, and this terrible event happens. To finish up with, I was going to say that there was one nobleman came out, Anthony Murray of Dollery, and I'm going to come back to the Dollery, the Murrays of Dollery in another episode, but he came out to plead with the men. He had managed to keep a very neutral path, Murray of Dollery, and he wasn't for them or against any of them. He was trying to be very, and he was for Creef. That was his claim. He was for the people of Creef, and he came out to plead for the town, but failed as well. So you do have these really terrible incidences happening. What Murray of Dollery eventually does is spends the next 20, 30 years of his life, next few decades, trying to claim back on behalf of people what was lost, making declarations, and there are documents that show signatures of all the people in the town that lost their goods. It's a bit like an insurance claim. They're claiming back from the forces, the government and other forces.
And was he successful at all?
Yes, people
that?
Were given some compensation, and the accounts of course would back up what had happened. Maybe we were a wee bit naive to believe all the accounts quite so readily. They might well have been expressing those in the most violent terms to make sure that people did get recompense. You never quite
know. A bit of artistic license.
Possibly.
We all do it.
But I think there's that kind of, that documentation still survives. And that's the kind of documentation that tells you about families and names as well, which is really important to the genealogist, the family historian, because when you go through these documents, that's what you're finding. You're finding the names of people who signed, who wrote down, who was living in Creef at that time, because is their name on the burning document, the one that people wanted to get their property back? And Murray of Dollery was very instrumental in working on those claims and helping local people get back what they'd lost. So that's quite important. But we'll come back to him, because Murray of Dollery has another fascinating story, which I'm going to look at in another episode.
Ah, fantastic.
But this is a great episode as well, in terms of looking at something something really horrible that happens in the local area, which again, some people know about and a lot of people don't know about. And it's there under the bigger, the 15 to the 45, you know, the Sheriff Muir. We all know about these names and Robert Burns reads poems, but you know, how much do we know about the burning of Strathearn? And that's one of those things that the exhibition is designed to do, to draw out these stories and look at the smaller families and the real impact of Jacobite activity. What was that real impact? Because what we're looking at here are 40 houses, 100 houses, 80 properties burnt to the ground in the winter of 1715-16. That's something really happening here. And we're seeing a bit of that in films and in Outlander.
Sure.
We get that kind of violence and that kind of, you really do see that kind of real, but this is really violent stuff. And some of the men who did this, you know, were actually sorry that they'd done the burning and that things had happened, and they did feel heart sorry for people who were turned out of their homes, but they're obeying orders. it's military orders, and you have to do what you have to do. So
yeah.
we're in a civil unrest, an uprising, mm-hmm. a rebellion, and mm-hmm. this is how it impacts on ordinary folk.
Yeah, and it kind of leads into like the bigger story, you
Absolutely.
Know, up to like 45 as well.
Well, again, if this happened to your family in the 15th, how would you feel about Jacobites in a later date? You might feel differently. You might have been out with them, or you might have been in that. Change mm-hmm. your view over time. And if your father was lost at Sheriff Muir, you might come back yourself in the 45. If your house was burnt after Sheriff Muir, you might just stay at home.
Yeah.
So those are the decisions that help people make. But
yeah.
it's a really nice episode to show exactly what was happening here in Persia amongst those bigger episodes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.